You and I have come this morning to worship a holy God and the only true and living God that exists. For in the book of John, the 4th chapter, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him are to worship him in spirit and in truth. Those two things, spirit and in truth. And I'm thankful today that you and I can assemble together in the presence of our God to worship and pay tribute and honor unto him. How many of you have ever heard of the expression, a cut above? A cut above. You know, I wondered what that really had reference to, and it really is an idiom that means superior to others, originated in the 18th century, and it had to do with the measurement of goods or garments. Someone would go to a tailor or to a seamstress, and they would cut material. And in the cutting of that material, it was often referred to as a wonderful cut or a cut above. You know, I've come to believe that the Crockett Road congregation must be a cut above. God doesn't want us to be mediocre. He's not interested in an average church, but he is interested in one who worships him in those two qualities, spirit and in truth. And we must be the cut above. We must. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, the Bible says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in my prayer, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse 47, Jesus said, and if you salute brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? I think what Christ is trying to do is to stimulate the minds of individuals to do more than is what might be expected of you. And don't actually think that because you say hi to one another on a Sunday morning, or you salute them out in the marketplace or at Walmart or wherever you have to go, realize that we ought to be greeting everybody. We ought to be reaching out to those that are lost and estranged from God. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That is the way you live, the way you talk, the way you walk, whatever you do in life, because it is written, Christ said, be holy, for I am holy. Now, I'm not talking about having a holier-than-thou attitude, but I am talking about having a holy attitude, an attitude that honors God, that reaches out to him in holiness and purity. When I think about holiness, that's what I think about. We sing the old song, pure in heart, O God, help me to be. And that is so true. Holiness is defined in this way. To be holy is to be distinct. It is to be separate in a class by oneself. Paul said, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord God. You and I cannot live like the world and be holy before God. We have to make sure that our lives are consistently being lived in a state of holiness. But there's so many impure things in our world today in which we're tempted to be involved. But we have to be very, very careful to be holy before God. You see, the primary meaning of holy is separate. You and I must be a cut above. I don't want to be an average Christian, do you? I've heard people say, well, I just want to be an average Christian. You know what? If you're an average Christian, you're as close to the bottom as you are to the top. You can't be in between. Jesus said, you're either with me or you are against me. Perhaps even more accurate would be that phrase, a cut above something. You know, sometimes people just want to be an average church. We just want to be average in what we do and what we say and no more. Don't give me any more to do. I just want to be average. Well, in Titus 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. We have a lot of people that think they're holy today. We have a lot of people that think they're a cut above, but they're not. They're really not. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality enters into the kingdom of our Lord God. Now, most of us remember hearing the stories of old of ancient Sodom and Gomorrah. In that little book in the Bible, Jude, the writer, records these words in the first chapter in verse 7. He said, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality, and they pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by the undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Now that is what God actually says. You and I must be different from the rest of the world. That's why the Bible in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says that we're not to be conformed to the world, but that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to work on our mind and bring it into subjection unto God. Listen to what Paul writes here again in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. He says, wherefore come you out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Paul is saying that if we're not separate in this life, then we will be separated by God. Now, it's not enough to show up down at the church house when we're having an assembly to be holy in that regard. It much, much more than that. We must have a deeper relationship with God that says, I want to serve him, not because if I don't serve him, I'm going to be punished. But it should be, I want to serve God. I want to honor him. I want to be holy, and I want to be in a holy church. Because that's what God wants. In the book of 1 Samuel 2 and verse 2, God says, no one is holy like the Lord. For there is more beside you, listen, there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. How would you compare God? What are you going to compare God to? Well, there's nothing in the world to which you could compare Jehovah God. There is none like him. And that book in John 4 says that he is a spirit, and he is a holy spirit. And we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the holiness of our life and what it means to be a cut above. To be a cut above is to be holy and morally pure. We live in an immoral world. We have people today that endorse immorality and ungodliness, unrighteousness, and they endorse it. Even churches are doing it even now, believe it or not, where they actually ordain homosexuals and lesbians that are not according to the will of God. It is still a sin, folks, whether anybody stands in the pulpit and preaches about it or teaches you about it. It is wrong. It is wrong. And when things are made holy and when they are consecrated, they are set apart for purity. There's a word in the Bible that is used. It is the word sanctification. Do you know what that word really means? It means to be set apart. If something is sanctified, it means that it is set aside to be used by God. God isn't going to use you if you are not of holiness and if you're not living a pure life. We must be that cut above. King David, one of the great writers of the Old Testament and one of the great kings in Israel's history for about 40 years, wrote in Psalms 24, 3-5, Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in the holy place? Great questions. But he who has clean hands and a pure heart, and who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. You want to go to heaven? You know, if you ask the average person on the street, oh yeah, I want to go to heaven. But then you turn and ask me, you say, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. What is your hope based on this morning in going to heaven, folks? It's not on showing up at the church. It's not reading your Bible. It is not praying, but it is living the righteous life before our God. That's what it is. I want to go to heaven on the merits of Jesus Christ, not on my own merit. I could never make it. I am frail. I am flawed. I make a lot of mistakes in my life. And the only way that you nor I are going to get into heaven is by doing the will of God and submitting unto the righteousness of our God who is in heaven. I like the words of Isaiah 6, verse 3 through 5. Isaiah talks about his relationship with God. And one cried to another and said, holy, 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 as we were singing a moment ago. Holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I don't know that we can say that today. Isaiah could say it in his day. But when we look at our horrible world today, and I'm not really trying to be negative, I'm trying to tell you that we ought to be a cut above it. We ought to be living way beyond the immoral and the ungodliness that is in our world. He says, for and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone. Do you realize that every one of us in this audience today are undone? We're undone in the sense that we are sinners, and Christ came into the world to redeem us, to buy us back, and to save us from an eternal hell. For there are many people that are destined to go there because of the way that they live. But listen to Isaiah, why he says he's undone. He says, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now Isaiah, having come into the presence of a holy God, comes undone. You and I, when we enter into the house of worship, we come into this place undone. Christ, but let me tell you something. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul said that of himself. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But we can be redeemed and we can be forgiven because we realize our sinfulness and our impurity and our need to turn to a wonderful and loving God. Paul gives a great key to how we do this over in the book of Ephesians 4 and verse 29. He said, instructs Christians, and it does instruct us, to avoid all unwholesomeness or corrupt speech, such as gossip and insults and lies, and instead use words that are helpful to build up others according to their needs. You know, some of the biggest sins that we commit are sins that we commit with our mouth, with our tongue. That's why David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my Lord and my Redeemer. That's why the Bible says that those who lie, according to Revelation 21 and verse 8, are going to be lost. But do you realize how easy it is to tell a lie today? Do you realize how maybe often we tell what we call little white lies, and there is no difference between a big black lie and a little white lie, folks? Use your words and use them to the glory of God. What about gossip? Are you guilty of gossip this morning? Are you guilty of spreading gossip? A lot of people say, oh no, what I say about my neighbors is fact. You know what? It doesn't make any difference whether it's fact or not. You don't spread gossip. You spread the gospel. And that is what we ought to be doing. There's a little book over in the Bible, in the Old Testament. It's called the Book of Habakkuk. You may have read it, maybe not. But some of the excerpts from the Book of Habakkuk are truly encouraging. In that book, in chapter 1 and verse 13, the prophet says, "You are of purer eyes than to behold evil." That's why we shouldn't even look upon evil. We should keep our eyes upon God. Remember one time when Christ called for Peter to walk to him on water? And the Bible says out there on that water, he got out of the boat and started to walk. But then he noticed that the clouds were gathering and the winds were blowing and a storm was raging. And he took his eyes off of Jesus and started focusing on the elements. And it is then when he began to sink. And you know, when we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that is when we will begin to sink. Look at the rest of this passage. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? You know, sometimes we're afraid to speak up when someone takes the name of God in vain. I said to a man one time, he was talking about God, and every few minutes he'd use the word God thee. I mean, just over and over and over. And I said, you know what? Contrary to natural belief, God's last name is not damn. And he said, oh. And he said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, I'm a preacher of the gospel. He said, oh, I'm sorry I offended you. I said, you didn't offend me. You offended God. You offended God. We cannot see God without being holy. That's what he says. Hebrews 12 and verse 14, pursue peace with all people. For without that holiness of God, you will not see God. God is holy. That's why Moses could not look upon the face of God, because of the holiness of our God. And we must be a cut above the world, because God sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within us in order that we might be holy. The Bible says your body is the temple of God. If God lives, God doesn't live in an unholy body, but he lives in a holy one. And he dwells in a holy body. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You know, I think about that passage a lot. God wants me to be holy, a cut above. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, which you have from God, that you are not your own? Christ bought this body. He bought my spirit as well. In the book of Proverbs 25, verse 28, the Bible says, like a city whose walls are broken down is the man who is not in control of his spirit. Ezekiel 36 and 27, God said, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. That's why we can't live in and of ourselves the way that we want to live. We want to be holy. And what I say, I want to make sure that my words are holy before God. I want to make sure that where I go, I can go with the good pleasure of a God in heaven who is watching me and knows me. You know, one of the little expressions, and it's kind of a trite expression that people use today, is this little statement that says, God knows my heart. Have you ever heard anybody say that? God knows. You know what? That's the scary thing, isn't it? You may look upon it and say, well, that's a favorable thing. God knows my heart. But you better examine that little statement more closely. God knows my heart. He does know your heart, whether you're right with him or whether you are wrong. He knows whether you're living a pure and holy and godly life, or he knows if you are not living that kind of life. And in the book of 1 Peter 1, verse 15 through 16, the Bible says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy, notice this, in all your conduct, your life, your conversation, whatever you do, because it is written to be holy. Holiness is being separated from sin and set apart for God's use. Let me ask you a question. Well, how's God using you? Are you a cut above? Do you more than the publicans? Cut above is not just a phrase. It's a way of life. When the Bible talks about the virtuous woman, it says of her that she is excellent and that you excel in all things. Secondly, holiness means that we are a cut above others in our manner of conduct. Let me ask you a question. Does the world know you're a Christian? Now, we know you are if you're here. We know you're a child of God. But does the world, the people that you work with down at the job, or young people, the kids at school, do they know you're a Christian by the way you talk and the way you walk? They should. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We must answer that question by saying we can be a cut above, we will be a cut above, and we must be a cut above. Not in any sense that we think we are better than anyone else. Far from that. But our conduct must reflect a holy God. Ephesians 4, verse 21 through 32. Says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, when you were baptized into Christ, you became a new creature. It was a new you. You're not the same old person. And Paul made it perfectly clear in the book of Galatians 2 and verse 20. When he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a child of God. As he continues, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. We got so many people that think it's all right to lie and cheat and live ungodly lives because they say, God knows my heart. The Bible says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. nor give place to the devil. Many of us give place to the devil. We do. And he has a field time with us. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. And let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to and necessary to edification, that it may impart grace unto the hearers, and to not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I've often thought that's one of the great sins, to grieve the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we grieve the Spirit by the way that we live and what we say and how we act and our conduct. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You wouldn't think Paul would have to address the church and say that, but that's who he's talking to. He's not writing a letter at large to the people of Corinth, but he is writing a letter to the church house and to the folks down there. And he's saying, you put away all of these things from you with malice, intent. Yep, cut above. We must be. And then thirdly, being a cut above is trying to imitate Jesus. That's what it's really like, isn't it? Paul says, be imitators of me, even as I also am an imitator of Christ. You and I must imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be like him. I want to be like Christ. I want people to look at me and say, you know what? You look just like your father. God. In Matthew 5:20, Jesus said, for I say unto you that unless your righteousness supersedes or exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Holiness is not in that we do good things, but that our motives are pure. We all fail at times, but our mind should be upon Jesus. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whosoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever says to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council, but who says you fool shall be in danger of hell fire. That's why I don't want to call anybody a fool. God died for everybody. We can obey Scripture. It's easy enough to literally do what the Word of God tells us to do. But if our heart and our mind is not changed when one is baptized, then it's useless. So when I see someone who feeding children and orphans, but treating their brothers and their sisters in Christ horribly, not forgiving others, holding grudges, I have to wonder. Matthew 15 says, but those things which proceed out of your mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Isn't that interesting? What comes from our heart defiles a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witnesses and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. It's not the outward, it's the inward, folks. Now let me ask you a question in closing this morning. Does your life look like a cut above? Do you hear people say, boy, they sure are different. You know that little book of Jude, the Bible says that we are to make a difference in our life. Do your actions and your conduct reflect the holiness of God? And is your mouth reflecting holiness by the way that you talk? Galatians 5:16, I say then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust thereof. And if you're struggling with this, have you been born again? Have you walked away from the Lord? Are you daily in prayer and reading the Word of God? Are you attending the worship services down at the church house and having fellowship with God's brethren as you ought to on a regular basis? Then I ask you one last question. Have you been baptized according to God's will? We must be baptized. Romans 6 and verse 3. That's when the holy walk begins. I hope that you'll live as those who are cut above and honor God with your life. We're going to sing a song of invitation here this morning, and should you be in our audience with a desire to either place membership with our congregation or to repent of sin as a Christian and ask for God's forgiveness, or by being baptized in water for the forgiveness of your transgressions, we stand ready and willing to help you this morning while we stand and while we sing.